Let's turn now in God's Word to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Romans chapter 3. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's infallible, inerrant words. And so let's give our attention to our God. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Those are God's words. And the question that is begun here to be asked is, how is anyone made right before the sight of God if all are in sin and therefore guilty before the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles? Well, what about the Jews? Is there not any advantage to being a Jew? And he says, yes, they have the word, the oracles of God, and they have the sacraments, circumcision, which now today we have baptism. But their unbelief does not make the faith God has given bad. Nor is it that God judging those who are in sin unrighteous, but he is holy and righteous, perfectly just. Through verse 18, then the Lord, through Paul, proves again that guilt and corruption infects all mankind, both Jews and Gentiles, all. And then to the end of the chapter, that if one is going to be justified, that is, if one is going to be made right in the sight of God, and therefore not be judged, then it must not be, it's not by what you do. It's not by your works of the law. It's not by your works at all, what you do, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And that's to all Jews and all Gentiles. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will be justified, made right, credited with the righteousness of Christ alone. But only if you receive Jesus by faith. You trust him for your life and death. You trust him to have received the condemnation of your sins on the cross and live a perfect righteous life for you on your behalf. And so, friends, you must come to Christ and believe on him to be saved. And that's the message of the gospel, and that's the message of Romans 3. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful for the good news of Jesus Christ. As though we are sinners, guilty before you, ought to be judged. What is offered to us in Christ alone freely is salvation from judgment and condemnation forever. Deliverance from eternal death in Christ alone by his perfect life and perfect death. And that substitutionary atonement that you have granted to each one who believes. That Christ was placed on the cross and went to the cross to receive our condemnation and our sin, and what he had earned by his law keeping, his perfect life, his every single moment of his life, perfectly thought, perfect thoughts, perfect desires, perfect emotions. And as the God-man, perfect. There was not one thing that could be found guilty of him, not even by Pontius Pilate, not even by his wife, that could condemn him. And yet he went to the cross for our sakes, that we might in him be saved. And so, Father, in this, as we exalt in Christ your Son, and as we praise you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would make it true, each one here, from the youngest to the oldest, that you would send forth your Spirit, that you would shower and pour out your grace, and you would save your elect, those you have loved from of old, forever, in eternity past, that your name would be praised, and that we would exalt you, not man, but you alone. And so bring salvation, Father, and send it. We know the fields are white for harvest, so send forth your harvesters. Send forth workmen, servants, to proclaim the gospel. And that means us, especially elders, especially the pastor and elders. But Father, it means us, all of us, that we are called forth to go and proclaim all the good works that you have done to all the nations, as we sing and proclaim in the Psalms, we're to declare all the good works of the Lord to the nations. And Father, may it be true in us that we would do so, beginning with our children and our families in this congregation, but then also going out to the world, to the sinner, that the sinner would be brought in. And that our focus and attention would not so much be on the 99 righteous, but the one sinner. And any who go out from here, that we would call upon them as well, just like the prodigal son, and they would come and return, and we would receive them back. Our Father, we ask that you would watch over us, that you would turn us from our evil ways, that you would grant to us health in our souls. There are many struggles that we are going through. Father, help us. Be our help in times of trouble. Grant to us wisdom and discernment, that we would know good from evil, and that we would love good and pursue good and hate evil and flee from evil. That we would flee unto Christ. And Father, we do pray this week, especially for our presbytery meeting on Friday. We ask that you would give wisdom and discernment to the elders who meet. As we examine a man for ordination, that you would grant clarity whether he is ordained, whether you have called him by your Holy Spirit or not. Make that clear. And when you do make it clear, make the elders to stand upon what you've determined and not to turn away from you to another way. We pray also for the Westminster Church in Denver that you would bless them as we celebrate the ordination of Joe Smith, who has been called there. We pray that you would be working in him and in that congregation, that in him you would give him the word and build him up by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, that he would be bold in his preaching and faithful to you, and that he would not be a man-fearer, but he would fear you alone. We pray for the congregation that they would support him, that they would build him up by praying for him, and as they have vowed to do, they would obey him, submit unto him, and the rest of the elders of that church, as they are called to submit unto you. And so, Father, we ask that you would care for him, watch over him and his family, protect him from the attacks of the evil one, and grant him the truth. Sanctify him in the truth. We know, as Jesus prays, your word is truth. Father, we pray all those things, pretty much the same for us here and for me and for the elders. We ask that you would uphold us and charge us to go forth and make disciples of all nations, and that we'd be faithful to your word. Pray that we'd be faithful in worship, to worship you according to your word alone. And where we have turned from you, that you would call us back and that we would receive your rebukes and your reproofs. And encourage us then to be faithful. Father, we also pray for those congregations without ministers now in our presbytery. Pray for Houston, the mission church there, and in Laramie and Manhattan, in Colorado Springs Church. Father, with these, we in San Antonio. Father, we ask that you would provide ministers for these churches, these congregations, godly men, men who love your word and who are faithful. Father, we desire faithful ministers, not just bodies to fill a pulpit and sound nice. But we pray for ministers who will preach your word and be faithful in it and be godly shepherds, shepherding the congregations that we've prayed for with long suffering and love, and also with resolution to stand upon your word alone. And Father, we do ask that you would help Rachel this evening, Dina, both who are not feeling well. We pray that you would strengthen their bodies. We're thankful that Dina's feeling better this afternoon already. We're thankful that you're beginning to answer the prayer there that we've prayed this morning. We ask that you would be with Rachel as well and do the same. And bless her in her pregnancy, and strengthen her and the baby. You could bring that baby about safely. And even now we pray for the child's soul, as we pray for all the children's souls here, that you would turn their hearts to you, send your spirit, and do that great work of justifying them by faith alone. And Father, we ask that you would watch over the congregation here. We ask that you would uphold us, keep us from error, keep us from going, being wayward. And if we are afflicted, suffer, are persecuted, we pray that as we've learned many times, you would cause us to look to Christ, stand upon Him firmly, and so build us up even now, as we'll hear in a few moments from Gideon. Gideon himself, who was a judge, and yet weak, a weak man. And yet, Father, we ask that you would build us up and carry us as you did him, to do the work of the church, do the work of the gospel ministry. Especially pray for myself and for Dave as we seek to do this under your authority, under Christ's authority, who is the head of the church, the head and king. And we pray in his name. Amen.